Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1, and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for once again, Lord, Your precious Word. Please feed us, help our souls to feast on spiritual truth, how You feed us with Your precious Word. Please help us tonight, and thank You again for all that You do. We'll just give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. And when I got saved, I had Gene and Burma Johnson available. He sold his farm in Iowa, all of the land, bought a serviceman's center in Jacksonville, North Carolina, in the red light district. It was the second story of a brick building. The red light district is where the prostitutes were. It was really the worst part of town. He bought the building with his money from his Iowa farm. And then he and his wife spent the rest of their life reaching Marines. And so he would go down on the street, handful of tracks, always say a friendly game of checkers and a warm cup of coffee. Friendly game of checkers and a warm cup of coffee. And he'd offer that. And then we would pull Marines up from that awful part of town, and they'd come up the stairs. We'd play them in checkers, and then we would win them to Christ. And Miss Burma was such a help to me when I got saved. And I remember there were people in my life that God read the Bible with me that helped me as a young Christian. And I thought, I can't read the Bible with everybody in our church, but if I could, I'd want to pass on to you what was given to me. You say, how come we're doing this? Several things. We do have new Christians in our church that I would love to do this with. But the benefits of a radio station would be, I want to have a time where we just read the Bible like you're daily reading it. You can listen to it in the car. You can listen to it at your house. Some of you listen to the Bible while you read it, which is a good thing to do. You hear it and you're looking at it. That's a good thing to do. But then I also want to have in the 60s, there was a program Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. And he was wrong on some things, but he's in heaven now and he knows he was. So, like on tithing and stuff like that, there were things that he was off a little bit on, but wonderful man. I know several people that were saved from his broadcast, and he would go through the Bible. And you had someone to read the Bible with and teach you as you went through it. It could have been sermons, but I don't think it was that as much. It was reading the Bible with somebody that knew the Bible and how it helped. And so his program was very, I want to do something like that on our radio station. What would it sound like? What would it kind of be like if I could sit down with you and read the Bible with you and explain things and point things out to you that I hope would be a blessing to you later when you opened up your Bible, right? If you're underlining and marking and highlighting as you go, then when you open it up again, it's like, wow, I like this passage. Instead of, what's that say, right? So here we go. If I read John chapter 1 with you, I won't read the whole. But why are you starting in John? Because they say if you haven't read the Bible, the book of John should be the first book you read. Then after you're done with John, you should read Romans. Because that's going to explain the doctrines of grace and what God did when He saved you. Right? So they say John and Romans, that's how come it's in the back of this book. Right? That's for the two books that you normally start reading your Bible with. And the book of John is what it has a 5.3 grade reading level. If you could figure that out, if you put it in the computer, you know, the Flesch Kincaid reading system, you copy paste, you put it in, and then it analyzes the sentence and verb structure of the sentence, and it'll tell you what grade level it is. John chapter 1 is one of the easiest simplest chapters to read in the Bible. Okay, so it's many places for it's good to start, but here we go, and it's perfect, pure. Watch this. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the beginning and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. Now, every time if we looked at the word Word in your Bible, the word isn't always capitalized. Whenever it refers to the Bible, it's always a small W. But whenever it refers to the Lord Jesus, it's always a capital W. Why? Because Jesus is the expression of God. He's the image of God. Just like you think a word and then you express it through your mouth, right? Words start as thoughts. Jesus Christ is God the Father personified in the flesh. He's the Word. This is the written Word. And what is Jesus? Seven times in the book. We've done that Bible study before, but seven times. This is three right here. One, two, three. And then watch this. If you want the fourth time, look at verse 14. Every soul that's ever read the Bible with me when I was young always read John 1 and then went to write to John 1:14. Okay, how come? Because the word W is capitalized again. Watch this. And the Word, capital W, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Three more times, Jesus is called the Word of God in the Bible, which means what? First of all, it means He was God, because it says the Word was God. Then the Word became flesh. That should also do what? This book, if you have a King James Bible, should be very precious to you. I remember when an old preacher, when we got to read six of us Marines or five in Okinawa, and we got to sit at the feet of Jesse Miller, who was in the Bataan and Corregidor Death March. And I've got his book, Prisoner of Hope, in my office. And that book changed my life. Prisoner of war for 4.5 years, okay? But we sat at his feet. He would just talk about how precious the Bible was and how precious. He would say, and he would hug the Bible. He said, this is as close as you're going to get to Jesus till you see Him one day. I don't know what He looks like. This is how He speaks to you. This book, if you have a King James Bible, is Jesus. That's a good way to think of your Bible, isn't it? Well, wait a second. The Word, the written Word, and Jesus are one. That tells me this. You love Jesus as much as you love your Bible. And you don't love Jesus more than you love your Bible. And if you want to love Jesus more, love your Bible, because it's Him speaking to you, right? Well, how do I love Jesus? How do I fall in love with Him? Let Him speak to you. When you read, this is God speaking to you, right? So, that's John chapter 1, verse 1. I know we referenced verse 14. Watch this. The Word, was in the beginning with God. Take your Bible real quick and go to Genesis chapter 1. I know we've seen this before, but it's just a good reference. Here we go. Look at Genesis 1:26. The same was in the beginning with God. You've got Genesis 1:26. Watch this. And God said, let us make man in our image. God, singular, said, let us, plural, which is what? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, let us, three in one God, make man in our image, right? So the same was in the beginning with God. The Word of God goes all the way back to who God is, right? And remember how you're made in God's image? You can go back to John chapter 1. Remember, God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And He made you three in one. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when you get saved, you become, you were made to walk with God and serve God and talk with God. Right? That's what being made in His image means. I can know God if I get saved. If you're not saved, you're just a body and soul. Right? So your spirit is what needs to get saved. Right? God didn't save your body when He saved you. All right? So the same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse number 3. All things were made by Him. Him. Who's it talking about? God or the Word? The Word. Isn't that a wonderful way to think? The Creator is Jesus Christ. The Creator, Jesus Christ. But, well, you mean God made all things. You mean Jehovah, the Jesus Christ made all things, which is a neat thought. Just take one. There's that song called He Grew the Tree That Would One Day Be Calvary. He grew the tree that He would die on. Isn't that amazing? He gave life to what He would suffer on. Just the thought, He made everything. He's the Creator. All things were made by Him, by Jesus, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, when you're thinking about the life that's the light of men, watch this. Look at, let me see, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I want to help you with that thought here, but just notice something here in this passage. Okay, I know I'm skipping around, but watch this. The life was the light of men, verse 4. Verse 5. And the light, small case L, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Watch carefully. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the capital L. When it's capital L, that's Jesus. John came to bear witness not just of the light, but the light who was God Almighty in the flesh. And then he's going to reference it. Watch. It says here, bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Here we go. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, was not Jesus, but was sent to bear witness of that, capital L, light. Here we go, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Okay? So his life was the light of men, and he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All right? What's that mean? That means Jesus lights everybody that comes into this world, everybody from birth, has a conscience that says God Almighty made you. So the first witness is what Jesus lights all men that comes into this world at birth. God made you, right? And then we're the second witness when you witness to somebody that Jesus is the light and the only true way to heaven. And what God say in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. All we do when we confirm with somebody and we pass out gospel tracts, we're the second voice, right? We're the second voice. That's how come when you give a gospel tract to somebody, remember I told you, for somebody to be an atheist, they have to be taught that. Nobody naturally looks at the stars, looks at creation and says, you know, I don't think there's a God. All the heavens declare the glory of God, right? When you give a gospel tract to someone, Jesus has already lit them. He's the light of all men. You're the second witness. That's how come you can say, you know what I'm saying is true. You know the Bible's true. You don't have to believe it, but you know that what I'm telling you is true. Because who lit them first? Jesus. He's the light of all men when everybody's born. I like thinking about that because we're passing out gospel tracts, but we're the second voice. We're the second voice. And I know I took you a little bit on the journey here, but watch this. And the light, verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, does everybody at verse 6 have a paragraph marking? Okay, it's interesting. At verse 6 is the second paragraph. Just so everybody knows, your paragraph markings are going to be from Matthew to Acts. And if you have any paragraph markings past Acts, you have a Bible that's been played with. Okay? So they're not all through the New Testament, but here there are, if you counted the words, interesting. I think the numbers, 3 is the number of God, 7 is the number of God, 6 is the number of man, 13 is the number of sin, 11 is the number of judgment, and you can go on. Numbers mean something in the Bible, right? Well, from verse 1 to verse 5, if you counted the words, is 66 words in the book of John, pointing, once again, to the Word, right? The living Word, all right? So that's only in your King James Bible, is that true? All right? There's not 66 words in the other versions. So pointing to the Bible again. 66 books in the Bible, 66 words in the first paragraph in John there. Now, then you get to learn about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all men through him might believe. So, that tells me Jesus, once again, there's many places in the book of John, but Jesus is the only way to heaven, right? That all men through him, through Jesus, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He only preached for 3.5 months and then got his head cut off. And he was here to bear witness of Jesus and was never baptized, but was given the authority of heaven to baptize people unto repentance, right? So Jesus traveled 60 miles to John the Baptist to get baptized, to identify with him who was preaching. Now think with me just real quick and then we'll move on. But who was John the Baptist? The testimony of God, nobody had heard preaching for 400 years. 400 years God did not speak through anybody. No, nobody was, thus saith the Lord. Nobody had preached for 400 years. When you end Malachi, between Malachi and Matthew, is they call it the 400 silent years. 400 years when God said he would not talk to his people. Then all of a sudden, here comes this man who's never cut his hair, who's a Nazarite. He's 30 years old. How long would your hair be if you never cut it in 30 years? 16 feet grows, right? So that's 6 inches a year for a man. I think a woman's hair grows a little quicker. But here's this man dressed in a linen girdle, and no, I don't think his hair dragged behind him, okay? Many think that he wrapped his hair around him, okay? Preaching, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if John was the forebearer of Jesus and God declared him to be the Baptist, I think he ought to be one of our heroes, amen? Now, he only preached for 3.5 months, and then he got his head cut off. But what a testimony. Jesus said he was the greatest of all men born, greater than Abraham. Greater than David, greater than Isaiah, pick the Old Testament person. So John the Baptist should be somebody that God draws attention to. And God says he's one of the greatest men that ever walked on the face of the earth. All right. So with that, keep on going here. He bears witness of the light. And of course, we read how that was the true light, that which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then watch this. He was in the world, the light. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. When they strip Jesus naked and shame him in the whole city and to spit on him, that wasn't man spitting on man. That was man spitting on God. And the thought that all that Jesus came knowing that what would happen to him. He subjected himself to die for a creation that he made that sinned against him so they could live with him forever if they would trust him in his death. What a God. What an expression of love. Does God love me? Yes, God loved you. Look at all that he went through to make sure you could be saved. Verse number 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. What's his own? If you don't know what that means, you should have written in your Bible, Jew or Israel. He came as a Jew. And all this weird teaching on the internet, I know I slam it a lot, but when they read Revelation chapter 1 and it says his hair was like wool, you know what I mean? They always say that to say, see, Jesus was a black man. Jesus wasn't black or white. He was a Jew. That means he was olive-skinned. Amen? He was, now, sometimes them people over in the Jordanian, sometimes they can get pretty dark, all right? However, Jesus was not a black man. I've seen sometimes, I remember being on the bus routes and seeing, you know, you go in somebody's living room and you always see the black Jesus on the wall. And it's like, they were taught that. They didn't get that from the Bible. Jesus came to his own as a Jew. What? Of the tribe of Judah, right? The lion of the tribe of Judah, right? So he was of the 12 tribes of Israel from Abraham, all right? To one day come first time to die. Second time he comes, he's coming to reign. So he came to his own, he came to the Jews, and his own received him not. Just like, isn't that amazing? Joseph, one of the 12 brethren, was rejected and sold into slavery by his own brothers to one day during the famine in Egypt save all of them. Now go forward about 2,000 years, Jesus the same is rejected of all Israel to one day 2,000 years later, save them that would put their trust in him. Okay, so you got some similar. He came to his own as a Jew, and the Jews, Israel, rejected him. And then, watch this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, to the word receive. It's a court term, like, did the judge receive the case? What's that mean? Will they look at it and then act upon the truth? That's what the word receive means. What does it take to be saved? If you receive Jesus, that means you accepted the Bible as God's word, you read the case, and you found it to be true, and you judged Jesus is your Savior, and you put your trust in Him. That's what the word receive means. As many as received Him, to those that received Jesus, gave He power to become the sons of God. A couple of key words here. God gives you power to become His son. Does that sound like getting saved is receiving Jesus? Becoming a Christian is a process, right? I'm fully saved. When you get saved, you're saved to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25, right? But the Christian life is a journey to learn to be godly and to learn to be. God gives you the power when you receive Him to become His son. What others see. You're already declared righteous when you get saved. But isn't that a neat verse? In other words, what do you have to do after you get saved? Follow Jesus and love Him. If you don't do anything, are you still saved? Yes. But nobody else can tell. Right? But God gives you His power to become His son. And that's the Christian growth. Becoming a son of God. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to be a Christian. What a wonderful verse. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. All right. So trusting who Jesus is. Why is that important? Because you have to believe that Jesus is God or you can't be saved. You have to believe John chapter 1 that the Word was God. Not just, remember that lady I told you I met and over in Sand Gates, and she was 82-year-old Methodist or 83. This old lady comes to the door and she said, oh, I'm Methodist. And I said, isn't it wonderful that God Almighty died for our sins and rose again so that we could live with Him forever? And she looked back at me and she said, oh, Jesus wasn't God. That's an old time Methodist. And I said, ma'am, Jesus was God. She said, oh, no, He wasn't. When my jaw dropped, and the person that was with me, we were there, this was like 5 years ago, and my jaw dropped. I said, ma'am, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, was buried in the tomb and rose again, but you don't believe He was God, you'll die and go to hell. There's who Jesus is, right? And then there's what He did. And who He is more important than what He did. If He just died for you and rose again, He was a martyr that died. Only God could die in your place. and bear your sins and the sins of all creation. God died in your place. And if you remove this, you can. Isn't that scary? Then Brother Miller and I were witnessing up at the laundromat up in Mechanicsville, up in the Charlotte Hall. And I remember, you know, we were passing out tracts there, and we walked right up to a Catholic guy. I thought Catholics were taught Jesus is God. And we gave this guy, and I made that mention again. Isn't it wonderful that the creator of the universe would die in your place so that you could live with him forever if you place your faith in him? Oh, Jesus isn't God. I said, I thought you said you were Catholic. He said, I am. I go to Immaculate Conception. I said, you're not taught Jesus is God. Most Catholics believe that. You know what I mean? But not him. More and more people, we're starting to find out. You know how come? Because we're being raised in a movie generation. We're moving from a word-based society to a movie-based society. And they actually think they know who God is. But that gets watered down in who Jesus. So, once again, ready? As many as believed on his name, who Jesus is, he's God, right? And he's the one who created you and died for you, all right? That is salvation, all right? And watch this just a little bit more. It was going to take you to a separate place, but let's just keep on working our way through here. Which were born, not of blood, three things, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Here we go. Three things. And this is the way this has always been pointed out to me. When you got saved, you were not born of blood. It does not matter who your family is. God does not save families. God saves individuals. All right? So you're not born again of your blood line. All right? Any more than a Jew just because they're a child of Abraham. No, they need to get saved also. Your bloodline does not make any difference. You need to get saved. Right? Which are born not of blood, your family, nor of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh. Your will that you have over your flesh, your self-discipline cannot save you. Well, yeah, but I've quit drinking and I used to be a drug addict and I don't take drugs anymore. And there's things, I've never murdered somebody and I've never done this. All of your discipline, the will of your flesh cannot born you again. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Three things, which are born not of blood, nor the will of men, nor will of the flesh, and the last one is, nor the will of men. What's the will of men? You're not saved because somebody else told you you are. What's the Catholic Church do? It baptizes a baby. Baby has no idea what's going on. There's godparents there to witness what's happening. And when that child grows up, they believe this washes away sin, and the child doesn't remember, but what do the godparents say? We were there when you got your sins washed away. You're going to heaven. By their confession, that's what the Catholic Church teaches. God plainly says in John chapter 1, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, or of the will of men. You're not saved because somebody else tells you you're saved. Right? You're only saved if you personally trust Jesus as your Savior. Okay? And so, let's keep on going here a little bit more. And not which, here we go, and the Word was made flesh. We've read this, but that's wonderful that God clothed Himself and limited Himself to a human body, not just to walk this earth, but to be tortured to death. The Word was made flesh for one purpose, to suffer in your place. That's an amazing thought. Because God could not pay for your sins unless he came in your likeness. Right? Then he could pay for your sin. Romans chapter 8. All right? We've got some other verses here. Let's just stay with John chapter 1. But God came in our likeness and put on our without sin. And then suffered for our sin. Okay? So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Full. Jesus was full of grace and truth when He was here with us. And then John, verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. Okay, wait, stop just a second. John the Baptist, according to Luke chapter 1, was 6 months, born 6 months before Jesus, right? So here's John saying, okay, everybody knows John was born first, but he's saying he was before me. He always was. That's John declaring. The one you're looking at is God Almighty in the flesh. Only John, right? Only John could say that, 6 months older, yet saying he was before me. Once again, when you read the book of John, what's going to be the main truth? That Jesus is the Son of God, or you say Son. Doesn't that go God the Father, God the Son? When you read the book of John, it's always going to show you that Jesus is God. That's the whole, every chapter is going to show you an aspect of Jesus being God. 22 chapters. God, Jesus is God this way. Jesus is God this way. As a matter of fact, go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 real quick, just to kind of clarify. In the West, when we say Son, all right, when we say Son, we think Father, Son, children. We think levels like this. In the West, in the Bible, when God penned His Word, when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, He wasn't saying, it's God and then me. Look at verse 17. Ready? It says here, but Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Capital F. You would think Jesus was saying, see, I have a Father, just like we would, right? The dad's, you know, bigger and been around longer than the son, right? That's not how your Bible reads. Look at verse 18. Therefore, because he said, My Father worketh hitherto, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, kill Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, watch, making himself equal with God. They got so mad that three times they were going to stone Jesus before they crucified him, and they didn't. But all three times, John chapter 10, John chapter 5, and of course we got another spot, but all three times it's because Jesus said, I am God. I am the Almighty. And the Jews were, that's blasphemy. We'll stone you. And it's sort of, you know, so he slipped out. But when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, God is my Father, he was saying, we're one and the same. That's not how we think in the West. But when you read your Bible, once again, the book of John shows you what? The only one who could save you was God in the flesh, who came to die in your place. That's the theme of the book of John. The word believe, found 93 times. If you believe, you get one of three things: eternal life, everlasting life, or forever life. Amen? 93 times in 22 chapters, over and over. If you'll believe, you'll have everlasting life, all through the book of John. Wonderful. It's not a child's book. It's honestly, there's a lot of wonderful, I think there's deep truths all through the Bible. But don't think just because it's one of the simplest books in the Bible to read that it's not deep. There's many wonderful, deep, beautiful truths. I had people read the Bible with me and say, this helps here, this cross-references here, and that taught me so much. It was different than preaching. It was different. It was if, I remember Burma Johnson, and I remember I sat at the table, and I didn't understand eternal life, and she had her Bible, and I had my Bible, and she said, you seem down today, she told me. And I said, well, I'd only been saved, I think, 7 months, and I just started winning souls, and she said, and I said, I'm just scared I'm going to blow it. And I said, I trust Jesus. I know He's good for it. I'm a jerk, right? I'm the wishy-washy one. I don't want this to be a phase I'm going through. And I started crying. And I remember Burma took that Bible, and she turned to go to John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6. You're there in John chapter 5. And she turned right to verse number 47. She said, what's it say? John 6:47. Verily, verily. She said, what's that mean? She said, truthfully, truthfully. There's no greater truth than you'll ever read than what you're getting ready to read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. And then she said, has what? And I with tears coming down my face, I said, everlasting life. She said, would it be everlasting if you could lose it next week? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, then you're saved forever if you trusted Jesus. And I remember it was like a pressure release valve went off. All that pressure of me blowing it and being scared of myself, I knew I was safe in the hands of Jesus because somebody read the Bible with me. Amen. And they were an older Christian was pointing out to me what the Bible meant to help me. And I think tonight, I know this isn't preaching. This is not, you know, I know it's authoritative, but if I could read the Bible with you and point things out, I think that's part of God's plan. And I think a radio station would make that available. Amen. It doesn't make it happen, but it would make it accessible. And so it was just, let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious word. What a wonderful book. Thank you, Lord, to spend time around it tonight. Lord, because of all of what you've given us, what you, Lord, will never understand at all. But it's so wonderful to dwell on you and to think on you and to have your words dwell in us. Please bless these people. Help us tonight. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play.